Portraits of Insane Women by David Gaffney. Art galleries are perfect for picking up women. A fact surprising to Warren, as his entire working life had been in art galleries, and he'd had no idea. He'd met his wife Georgina in a gallery, that's where they'd both worked. But the fact that people used Warren's carefully curated spaces to feed explosive, untiring sex lives appalled him. His efforts to waken the soul with the tender strokes of art were wasted. Years of registering, ticketing, cataloguing, placing, interpreting, caring, protecting meant nothing. The public didn't want his art. They wanted secret nooks for fleshy encounters, soft chairs, heavy curtains, peepholes, tissues even. His art gallery was a pickup joint and Warren a pimp. But Georgina had run away, with Vernon, a wedding photographer. And although he'd tried the bachelor life for a few weeks, without her, without Georgina, without a woman, his life was dingy and meaningless. Georgina's last email spurred him to do something. "Your vacuous chimp scrawl makes my eyes vomit," she pounded out in fat capitals. Where had she learned this language? It can't have come from Vernon, the quiet wedding photographer, who specialised in novelty poses for his couples. His Pulp Fiction setup was very popular. Warren had no bad feelings towards Vernon. He'd never met him, but he'd walked past the man's studio a few times, and once glimpsed him arranging a family portrait and using a puppet to make the children laugh. Warren wanted to stop doing furtive things, like watching Vernon using puppets to make children laugh. Warren wanted forward movement, and a new woman could give him this. And if Warren couldn't pick up a woman in a gallery, then who could? Manchester Art Gallery's revival of the Art Treasures of the UK exhibition from 1857 seemed an appropriate popularist choice. Many single available women would be wandering, unsupervised. All he needed was the nerve and the blood. Warren was appalled at the poor quality of the hang. The schools of Siena, Arezzo and Florence were chaotically jumbled together and ascribed in a slapdash fashion. He found no fulfilment in the art, but he spotted an interesting woman, slim, somewhere in her 30s, and with ginger hair, which made her seem more attainable. Her nose was small and turned up at the end. He decided to make his move in the photography section, where she was narrowing her eyes in intense concentration towards a landscape by Gustave Legne. Warren felt suddenly exposed and tiny. Words swelled like a bubble in his chest, and he thought he would never free them. Then he remembered the advice in the book. "Offer your feelings about the artwork, then reveal something personal." "Did you realise," Warren blurted, "that the sky and the sea parts of this image would have been exposed completely separately, then stitched together? It reminds me of my father." The woman pressed her lips together and widened her eyes, nodding slowly. "Did your father expose himself?" "Expose himself? No, no." She broke out in squeaking little laughter. "No, I didn't mean, I'm sorry, I mean, did he expose pictures? Was he a photographer?" "No, he was a grocer. I am Warren, by the way. Becky." Becky looked at Warren's face, then down to his shoes, which must have confirmed something, because she made a darting fish movement with her hand and a whoosh sound with her mouth, indicating they should overtake the couple in front and move on to the next picture. Rylander's Two Ways of Life. Warren and Becky were looking at art together. They were behaving like a couple. This was easy. Rylander's Two Ways of Life was made up of 36 separate negatives, stitched together in the way Vernon digitally merged different images to make the novelty film stills for his newlyweds. The photograph had been controversial in 1857, as it depicted orgiastic scenes involving bare-breasted women. Warren worried Becky would ask him which way of life he preferred, and as he would be inclined to say a little of both, he hoped to God she had read the same book about picking people up in galleries and knew to avoid direct questioning. "Sometimes I feel," said Becky, that my life is lots of separate exposures stuck together, like I see the world through a giant fly's eye. I know what you mean, Warren said, unable to imagine what she was talking about. The next display was a set of medical photos called Portraits of Insane Women, images that seemed to Warren exploitative and made him feel greasy. But Becky liked them more than anything else. Look at their faces. In those days, people knew how to be insane. You had proper mad people. Do you remember how street people used to mutter? You don't get that now. What happened to muttering? It was like a different language, burbling, rasping, full of passion and grit. I used to like to hear them muttering. When I was a kid, a woman used to follow me round the supermarket, softly singing and tittering. Another used to swear, "Where are they now?" She bent her neck for a new angle. You can see she is authentically deranged. The hollowness behind the eyes, the twisting of the mouth. Mad people have very thick hair, have you noticed? Do you think they have special shampoo in asylums? Warren was concerned about her attitude to the insane women, but he felt that these attitudes were something he could work on. He was out there now. You had to work with the materials you were given. That's what he'd read. In the cafe, Becky and Warren talked about their lives. She had recently broken up with her boyfriend and had been visiting the gallery for months. Warren was the first normal person she'd got chatting to. So when he proposed his plan, she was happy to agree. At Vernon's photography studio, Warren and Becky flicked through a few examples of poses. Vernon had many of the necessary costumes, but if need be, he could simply knock up the whole thing digitally. It was up to them. Warren, however, was prepared. He showed Becky the poster for 40s film noir Gun Crazy, and she agreed right away. The gaze in the woman's eyes was exactly like one of the portraits of insane women. Georgina would be amazed when she saw Warren with this red-haired girl in high heels, breasts bursting out of a tight green sweater, pointing a handgun at the viewer with Warren behind her, cigarette drooping, a fugitive look on his face, his eyes exposing a vacant soul whose only mission was the ruthless pursuit of pleasure.